doing? Welcome to the Grunt Free Press Podcast. Here again, tell a friend. This is episode 217. And now we're getting to the heart of the matter. The cold, dark heart. Go to www.gruntfreepress.com for some reason. Or you could email podcast@gruntfreepress.com with your proof of purchase, and you'll get a free order of Dunkin' Donuts hash browns, which I don't recommend because they're kind of sour, kind of gross, much like my sour, gross heart. I'm absolute deicide, and I played a lot of horror games this week. Again, Blair Witch, for instance. We touched on that a little bit last week, but I don't think I expressed just exactly how impressed I was with that game. Blair Witch, don't get me wrong, it's not like, technically, I mean, if you want to like break it down, the Blair Witch game, it's not really anything special or anything that you haven't seen or played before. You know, it's a first-person horror game where you're walking around in the woods with a flashlight and a camcorder. You can use the camcorder for like a night vision mode type of thing. Stop me if you heard this one before. The way Blair Witch plays, or at least like the variations of what the game is asking you to do as you progress, like as you move along in the game, it keeps like changing up like the gameplay style and shit. It keeps you like engaged like the whole time you're playing. You know, it's not like 6 hours of hiding in closets or looking for notebook pages or anything like that. The game's like, it's 4 hours of that. Exactly. No, I'm just kidding. It's a pretty good variety in the gameplay. So you're solving puzzles, which, that can make or break a game either way, depending on how the puzzles play out, like how they're handled. Stay tuned to hear about how to do puzzles like the wrong way. We'll be getting to a game that does them very poorly later on. But, you know, in Blair Witch, they're not difficult, but they're just abstract enough that you have to do like a wee bit of fiddling around to figure them out. And they, and that just like adds to the atmosphere, like how you're handling, how you're solving the puzzles. It's like, this is kind of like something that's like, it's adding to the game. It's not just like taking you out of, here's like a fucking like box puzzle or, you know, whatever the fuck, that bullshit is fucking like, it's pretty well integrated into the game. They work well. Then they're not fucking like roadblocks where you're just like sitting there thinking about what you're doing. It's like, oh, you're just playing. Like, it's just part of the gameplay. It's very well. I mean, that's just like what you want in a horror game. You know what I mean? You want shit to just add to, not to like take you out of like, oh, I'm playing a horror game, but now I'm just like in a puzzle. I'm just doing like a puzzle game pretty much. That's not my favorite aspect of, the genre, as they say. So, The prime example of that is the dog. I would say in Blair Witch, the dog companion you have with you, easily the best one I've seen in a video game that I can think of. His name is Bullet, and the fact that I remember the dog's name and not a single other characters, I couldn't tell you who the fuck any other character in the game would be, not even the main character. I don't know who the fuck that was. Some guy that you're playing as. The guy that you are playing as in the game, something, whatever his name is, he's a war vet. Then he joined the police force afterwards, and his chief or something gave him the dog bullet to help him deal with the PTSD he was dealing with from the war. So, I mean, he's your service dog, and he's by your side more or less like the entire game. Like, you're always, the dog's always around with you. You can actually pull up a radial menu to interact with him. You know, you can have him like stay or follow close to you, or, you know, have him go off and like search for clues. And sometimes he'll dig around the dirt and he'll find like collectibles if they're nearby. And if you tell him, like, you know, go look for something, and like, you'll see him sniff around and like, oh, he'll find something and dig something up. And you can pet him if he's a particularly good boy. And yeah, there are a lot of instances where you have to follow the dog around. You'll give him like a clue, like, you know, you're trying to find this boy in the woods. So it's like, oh, I found like a baseball cap, and hey, you'll hold out a baseball cap and the dog will like sniff it. And then he'll, you know, bark and like run off, and you just follow him as the dog's like following the trail of the scent. Quite often in the game too, you won't be able to see jack shit because it's so like foggy, or, you know, it's dark outside. The woods are thick, so you can barely see like 2 feet in front of you. So you kind of have to rely on his like just the dog's barking, and he really hears his tags jingling. So it's like, hey, he's gonna follow the dog where he's going. And they actually made a phenomenal decision and gave him a reflective collar, reflective dog collar. So. And just, you can see that really easily off your flashlight and shit. So it's like, I can barely see what's in front of me, but you just have your eyes on the fucking dog's collar. You're following him. Sometimes that's all you can fucking like really see, you know, it's just fucking just the shining, like the yellow fucking reflective surface on the fucking, like, you know, shining off the light from your flashlight. So yeah, it's just like shit that just like the dog's always there. He's always in play pretty much. And the fact that you're constantly interacting with him, and sometimes like he won't do what you want him to do when he's like, whatever, you see him like he'll just be like pissing somewhere, like he'll just like stop and like take a leak and run off on his own for a little bit. If it was like a human NPC character you were interacting with, you could. You might get like pissed of like fucking like, oh, what's he doing? You know, it's fucking whatever you want to call it, the uncanny valley of fucking, like, you know, the dog. So this person's not doing what I want him to do, but it's fucking because it's a dog. It's like, oh, of course, whatever. You know, that's the way dogs act in real life. So they're fucking retarded children, pretty much, that you're dealing with. So it reflects that a little bit. It just seems like real. It's like having a real dog, pretty much. Minus the shit on the floor if you don't take him out in the morning. he also will alert you to spooky tree people, because there's more tree people in this game. You know, there will be like, you know, you'll be walking around the woods, you'll see branches like shaking and like twitching and shit, and they're hard as fuck to spot on your own. So you've got to listen to bullet barking and like growling and shit, and then you just kind of point your light in the direction that he's facing until he can, it's like, all right, then he can kind of make out where this tree person is. You have to like hold the light on the fucking like monster or whatever until they fucking, you know, go away after a while, almost like you know, they dart away, or they'll fucking like hide somewhere else after a few seconds that you shine the light on them. So when the dogs are growling, the trees are a scowling, as the saying goes. So I like Bullet more than my own dog, even though, you know, that's not really saying too much. My dog sucks shit, but you know, and most of the other puzzles in the game have you like you'll be watching like videotapes. You'll find like, you know, little mini cassettes or whatever around. You put them in your camcorder and watch them. Which makes sense considering the fucking, you know, it's a game based on the Blair Witch fucking, you know, movie, which is found footage or whatever. So of course you're going to be doing a little bit of that, but the, you know, the videos you watch, and they're usually only, I don't know, like 30 seconds long or so. And they'll give you just, you know, hints about where you have to go, or you can use like the rewind, the fast forward, or the pause features to manipulate the environment to like open a door. For instance, like you'll see a locked door, it's like, oh, I have to use this, look at the tape of, you know, the tape shows this, the door is in there, and you find it, you know, you watch the right tape with that door on it, and then you pause it. You just like pause it at a point where the door is open, and then you put the camera away, and then, you know, then the door will be open for you in real life, you know, whatever. In the, you know, it's fucking in the game. I mean, that's not something that's, those puzzles aren't like crazy involved. It's not really that complicated, but it just like works, you know. It's like I was saying, it's just fucking, it's not, it doesn't like pull you out. It's like, all right, well, I know you kind of know what you have to do, and you have to kind of fiddle around a little bit and think just that right amount, you know. It's not fucking taxing. You're not fucking like, oh, maybe I'll sleep on this because I'm stuck. It's like, no, you just kind of, you know what you're doing. But I suppose I should talk about the story of the Blair Witch. I mean, there's kind of one in the game. It is kind of like nebulous. I was saying, like, you know, at the beginning, it's here. The whole point of walking out in the woods is there's a missing kids out in the, you know, in Burkittsville, Maryland, those woods from the movie. And, you know, you're searching for them, and you're stumbling across occult, witchy things, and you're having conversations with people through, you know, like phone calls and text messages that are coming through on your cell phone. It's like, you know, the game takes place in like the 90s or whatever, so 80, I'm pretty sure it's the 90s, early 2000s. So you know, you have like a 90s fucking cell phone, like Nokia type thing. So you get some like nostalgia shoved in your face through that too. Besides the fact that you're playing a fucking Blair Witch game to begin with. So, you know, you're talking to your police department, who has, you know, your department has other search parties out there looking for the kid too. Many of whom, you know, you'll find other cops in the woods like dead and shit. And as you're talking to your department, they're both trying to like help you out and tell you where to go and give you like directions and shit and check in on you. But they're also concerned about you because you're kind of a loose cannon of a cop. You know, you're a Section 8 mental case that is. He also has like Nam flashbacks, and when he was on duty, he shot an unarmed suspect not too long ago from when the game takes place. It was a white kid too, because cops didn't get the mandate to start shooting niggers on site until about 2016, if you've read your history books. And you're also talking to your wife, or maybe your ex-wife. I don't know, you're separated, estranged, whatever, fucking woman partner that you were with. You're separated anyway, so you're having conversations with her too, and she's concerned about you as well. You know, people don't seem to really trust this guy that you're playing. So yeah, through the course of the game, it becomes clear that like something's like not right, you know, with the relationship between, you know, the main character and the wife he's talking to. It was like something's not right here. Obviously, he's not just like having like a normal conversation with her. Beyond the fact that she's, you know, an everyday naggy cunt like every other woman. But yeah, I did say when I first saw the trailer for this game, I said Blair Witch reminded me of like Silent Hill or Silent Hill 2 specifically, if you catch my drift, wink wink. So I mean, I'm not saying that the storytelling isn't really of the same caliber as that game, as like Silent Hill 2 is, you know, a great fucking story and shit. And like I said, Blair Witch, it's like, yeah, it's just kind of, it's more just atmosphere, and that's about it. You're just kind of, you know, going through it and getting like little bits and pieces. You know, it's just more about that first person like immersion than these like concrete story beats or anything like that. you're learning, you're, you know, the guy you're playing, you're just kind of learning his backstory as you're playing, and whoever his name is again, Bullet, the guy who owns Bullet, you're trying to figure out what his deal is. I mean, that at least like anchors the gameplay. It just gives you a reason to keep playing and just, you know, keep like advancing to get to like some kind of like conclusion or reveal about like what's really going on with him. And that's all I really care about. That's all I really ask for in my video game narratives, which are usually garbage. I usually don't give a fuck about video game stories. And now I'm going to throw out yet another reference that we like to use here, a familiar one, which is another one of my favorite horror games, Condemned, Criminal Origins, because, yeah, Blair Witch is a little bit of that, too. It's got some Condemned DNA in its knickers. About, I don't know, I would say, like, halfway through the game, your camcorder that you've been using to fucking like watch the tapes, and that's about all you're really using it for up until that point. Then it gets like a sort of like infrared feature on it, because before that you weren't really using it. It's not like fucking using like the night vision to like see in the dark or anything like that. You're just using your flashlight pretty much. Like the night vision on it was pretty garbage. I mean, purposefully probably. Yeah, it's fucking like a 90s camcorder. It's kind of shitty. You just use the flashlight. It would work much better. It's not like you're like stealthing around. Just very rarely, if ever, in the game do you need to hold the camera up to your face like full screen. It's not like Fatal Frame or Outlast or other references, but you do end up having to use it to follow these like glowing trails that you can only see by looking in the viewfinder, like the camera's viewfinder. You don't have to like put it up full screen to your face. You kind of you'd be looking at like, you know, the main, your main fucking perspective, and then just off on the corner as you have the camera like equipped, but not like up to your face. You can still see it and down in the corner, and that's fine for pretty much all of it. You know, again, you don't really need to fucking like do like the full screen Outlast fucking thing. And you can use that to follow those trails, or there are ghosts or whatever that are like invisible otherwise, unless you're looking through the camera, the viewfinder. So I mean, yeah, that's kind of like Condemned's forensic investigation. But then at the end of the game, you end up in a cabin that you've like really like all your, it's just like you really need to fucking follow those glowing trails. You're just like constantly looking at these trails, following them to find your way around. And I mean, like that's Condemned as fuck. It's like the final farmhouse level from that game is that's kind of like mixed with some like PT, you know, that game PT, where it's a lot of like repeating hallways and that sort of thing. Because again, there's more references. I'm just going to keep throwing out for this. So yeah, there's multiple endings you can get depending on some of the choices you make as you play. But yeah, what those choices are exactly, and whether you're making like a good or a bad decision, they really obscure that pretty well, you know, which I appreciate. It's not like fucking like, you know, help an old lady or kick a puppy or that sort of thing to fucking like awesome like get a good or a bad points for doing that. It's not like they give you like a stat screen at the end or anything either, where it's not like fucking like, oh, like here's your score breakdown, you have to like do better to get a better ending. They don't really tell you like what you're doing is affecting the ending, or, you know, even if what you're doing is like a good or a bad decision or whatever. You know, it's not like you had to hit like a certain time, like it's not complete the game in a certain amount of time, or discover like X amount of like secrets, or kill so many enemies or whatever, and get a better letter grade, like none of that shit. They just give you like an epilogue at the end pretty much. And I got I would say is most likely that I'm gonna guess that like the darkest ending, like the worst ending you could possibly get. But how I usually roll with these fucking games. So I still get it. I still get the touch for getting the worst endings in horror games, which again are usually my favorite. So it worked out pretty well. So yeah, it's a good fucking game. I like fucking Blair Witch quite a bit. It's a real, the movie Blair Witch is a real dark picture. And hey, what do you know? Speaking of that awkward phrasing, I also played another horror game this week called The Dark Pictures Anthology, Man of Medan. And to answer your first question, after playing through this one, and I went through this entire game in another just like one shot fucking marathon session, just front to back. And yeah, I have no clue who the fuck the Man of Medan is. As far as I can tell, it's just a fucking nonsense title for the game, and a bad one at that. Like, why would you fucking name your game Man of Medan? I don't know what the fuck that is. So again, playing the game, paid attention to it, don't know who the fuck the Man of Medan is. So I didn't go into Man of Medan really expecting very much from it. It's from, made by Supermassive Games, who are best known for Until Dawn, which I didn't really care for that game at all. I'm not an Until Dawn fan. I didn't like it. And this one here, Man of Medan, just follows almost like the exact same template as Until Dawn. So it's a bit of a stretch to even call it a game, quite frankly. It's less interactive than most Telltale games. It's more of like, you could classify it as like an interactive movie. You know, you're watching just long cut scenes, and every now and then you'll get like a quick time event that might kill one of the actors if you fail it. One of the characters or whatever in the game, like, you know, if you fucking make the wrong choice, it's like, oh, well, that guy's going to die like 10 minutes later or something like that. And then every now and then you'll get like a quick time event, which again, yeah, if you fail at the actor, I already went through that. So you know, as you're watching these you know, long cutscenes or whatever, it's not like you can put down your controller, then like, oh, you're gonna go back to the gameplay later after the fucking cutscene ends. It's pretty much all a cutscene more or less. So you're just kind of paying attention with the controller in your hand. And then sometimes you can just like directly control the characters like an actual game, you know. Again, I'm not really shitting on it. I'm just saying that's how it is. But even then, like, it's very limited, the amount of things you can do. Just a lot of small confined spaces and a lot of hallways where if you have a choice to go like one way or go left or go right. And if you go left and walk around a little bit, you might find some fucking secrets and notes and shit. So, you know, you might have to move the analog stick to aim a cursor and shoot a gun, but that could be fucking put down as a quick time event as well too. It's just like, you know, just the screen, you know, the action will stop for a second, like, oh, your character pulls out a gun and there's a cursor and you just aim really quick and fucking pull the trigger or whatever. Again, I'm not like shitting on it. I'm not even the debate of like, oh, it's like a, you know, is this a game or not? It's like, yeah, kind of not, but I'm not saying it's bad. It is what it is. You know, just gotta fucking keep that in mind. That's all. That's all I have to say about that. But that being said, and accepting that it's an interactive movie or TV show, I really like the concept of what they're going for. It's you know, it's supposed to be, you know, the Dark Pictures. It's supposed to be like a horror anthology, as the title states. So, you know, I think like fucking Tales from the Crypt or like Creepshow or like Are You Afraid of the Dark, where it's just kind of again, if you're a 90s Nickelodeon kid, where they're just going for like episodic short horror stories with like a loose connecting formula to them, you know, like a crypt keeper, if you will. In this case, for the Dark Pictures, it's going to be, you know, it's a psychologist you're talking to in a library. which is like almost the exact same thing, I think, for they use for fucking Until Dawn. So I don't know, go figure. only this time it's not fucking, who was it, Peter Stormare, I think, because it was in Until Dawn. I don't know who the hell this guy is, but it's a different guy, but same thing, same concept. And yeah, there's even like a cold open to the game that feels disconnected from the rest of the story, but it just, you know, it's like fucking what the fuck did I just play? It's just like, you know, it completely cuts off, it opens up in something completely different, and then cuts to like the main fucking, you know, story, the main game. It's like, what the hell was that thing at the beginning? What the hell was the point of that? Then, you know, then it does like loop around towards the end. So in this case, you start off playing as two American soldiers in China during World War II, I believe. And they're, you know, just fucking, just like soldiers killing time on the dock and getting drunk and having their fortunes read and playing some, like, you know, it's like, oh, I come play this boxing game, whatever, on the docks. And that conveniently acts as like a tutorial for the QTEs. Yeah, and then they fucking, you know, those two soldiers like head back to their ship, Navy men, or whatever the fuck you call them, sailors, I guess would be the correct term. So they head back to their boat, and, you know, they're drunk, they get in a fight, and they're sent to the brig, where they pass out. Then they, you know, then after, you know, the next morning or whatever, or at night, they wake up, and yeah, there's some spooky shit going on aboard that ship. You know, they find out that most of their crew is dead, and it looks like they all died of like fright or whatever. They're all like curled up in the fetal position. It looks like they're like screaming when they died and shit. Then they see some ghost boy running around, who ends up attacking you, and there's, you know, then goes like a, one of those shooting like QTEs. You have like a Tommy gun or whatever, and you have the choice of like, oh, are you gonna pull the trigger and shoot this kid who you don't know what the hell's going on, or do you want to do that or not? And, you know, and then it just fucking, it just kind of like cuts from there, and it flashes forward to modern day. And now you're following a group of like, I don't know, like six people, like a half dozen, whatever. Just these new people they introduce. They're probably in like their late 20s, like early 30s type of deal. so you know, you're on a small boat. You're heading out from French Polynesia to go on some diving expedition. And yeah, you know, it's like, you know, two of the new cast members there are like, brothers, I think, and then one of them's like, you know, it's like brother, another brother and a sister and whatever. Two of them are like dating or whatever, and they're not two that are related. that's not like a plot point, but it's, you know, just fucking, it's just like a group of friends, and some of them, you know, a couple of them are related or whatever. And then there's the sassy, take no guff, hot female captain. I liked her. And yeah, I mean, like all the new characters, they're all pretty well written. Yeah, you know, I much prefer playing as original like adult characters than as the teenage horror movie stereotypes from like Until Dawn, which is just fucking like all those characters. It's like, well, they're just like stereotypes, and then the character growth is just kind of them. It's just kind of like, well, they're not as stereotypical as you think, eh? Like these characters just feel like more like alive. Like they just feel more, you know, just better written and shit, you know. Yeah, like that Until Dawn, the playing stereotypes and playing against stereotype, like that shit gets like old incredibly quickly, and I hated every one of them in Until Dawn. I just wanted them all to die. So I mean, like that game was just fucking, I don't fucking care about anything. So yeah, but in Man of Medan, you know, each character has their own motivations and their own personality traits that you can shape a little bit one way or another, depending on your dialogue and your action choices. Like, one of the brothers is always, you know, like he's always going to be like the nerdy guy, no matter what you do. Like he has like, you know, his strong, like core personality will be the same. But then you can have him, you know, it's like, do you want to have him like break out of that a little bit and go into like these couple dangerous situations where he's not just like a one note character, like again, certain other games. that start with fire and end with emblem. Like the captain there, fucking Haughty McFineass or whatever the fuck. It's just like, you know, do you want to play her as being like a strict, like by the numbers, you know, professional where she's not gonna, you know what I mean? She's gonna do everything like by the book, or do you want to have her like loosen up a little bit and like have a couple beers with these fucking, the group with her clients or whatever you want to call them, these group of friends she's taking out, they'll offer her a beer and just like, you know, just one of those, like, the choices you can make is like, oh, do you want to drink or not? And, you know, maybe not drinking's the wise choice because, you know shit's going to go bad for everybody eventually. And, you know, of course it does. Otherwise it would be a boring game. Like, I'm sure this is a boring podcast right now. So let me take a break and recalibrate. It's late. I know it's a late one coming out. I'm tired. Give me a break. Welcome back. I got a little bit more coffee in me, a couple more butts. We'll see what we can do. We're going to make it. We'll pull through. We always do. Better late than never. That's what my mom always said. So, what the hell was I talking about here? What the fuck is this? No, man. The Dark Pictures Anthology, Man of Medan. Still don't know what that means. So, So you're on the ship with this, you know, this group of, you know, young adults or whatever, friends, and then the hot ass fucking black chick, the fine ass. Then your ship ends up getting taken over by pirates, like real life modern Somali type pirates, not peg leg, bird on the shoulder, our matey pirates. And even like as characters, even they're written pretty well. I was just fucking, you know, these asshole, you know, like fucking like scumbag pirates. It's like, yeah, but they're still kind of like, you know, decent characters with their own fucking thing they're trying to do. Now that they're not cartoonishly evil. They see a bunch of rich kids on a boat and they want to see what they have on board and possibly hold them for a ransom if they can. No rapes or attempted rapes, unfortunately, which we always hope for. But, you know, you can't have everything. So, yeah, one thing leads to another, and they catch on that the kids are going after some Manchurian gold, like some fucking shipwreck that the nerdy guy tracked down. So, yeah, naturally, they want in on the action. And, that's when, you know, they make them fucking follow the map or whatever, the clues that kid got to find out where the ship was that supposedly has fucking gold on it or whatever. So that's when you find the World War II warship from the opening segment. So, I told you, it would wrap around. I was getting back to it. It's a callback to a callback in a game or whatever. Fucking, so, but now, you know, it's a spooky fucking ghost ship. And yeah, the game turns into kind of like a haunted house at that point where you're, you know, just walking down the hallways and stumbling into dead bodies and seeing shit that may or may not be real or in the character's heads. You're seeing fucking, again, like ghost, whatever, ghost people and fucking, you know, all these fucking dead bodies and shit. But you know, I think the game works. I think the fucking the story works. It's it is fucking mostly just cheap fucking jump scares. Again, it's like the opposite of Blair Witch, where Blair Witch is kind of just like just atmospheric shit, and this is just fucking shit just kind of popping out at you with fucking, you know, violins or whatever playing, just fucking wah, as you fucking like see scary shit happen for a second, and then you move on to the next one. But, you know, I think it also goes on. The game goes on a little bit too long. We were in the same environment. We were in that ship for a little bit too much time. You know, just a ship's hallway just kind of looks like a ship's hallway. And you're just fucking walking down a lot of fucking ship's hallways as you're there for a couple hours. But, I mean, the story that plays out as you're doing that, like when you find out, like, what... You know, what actually is the secret, like the plot twist, the Manchurian gold that's on the ship, like what that is. It's fucking, and what happened to the crew and what's now happening to your group, like why you're seeing shit. The twist is actually more grounded in reality than fucking, it's not just like, oh, here's a bunch of supernatural shit with no explanation. It's like, oh, they kind of like bring it back and, you know, it really does seem like a plot that would be on fucking Tales from the Crypt or whatever. Like, yeah, one of those fucking horror anthology shows. Like, yeah, that'd probably fit in. Like, that'd be something that you would watch. You know, so in that sense, they really did nail what they were going for with this game, or the first one of the series they're trying to do. But, the downside to that is... Unlike if you're watching a TV show where you'd watch an episode, then you'd have to wait like a week for the next one. It's a video game, you know, and video games take a much longer time to fucking develop, as we learned from fucking, you know, those fucking episodic Telltale games where it's like, oh yeah, we'll fucking put out like, you know, once every 2 weeks or a month or whatever the fuck they used to do. They'd never hit their deadlines and all that. But at least this is a finished story. It's not to worry about that. But as far as like the anthology goes, it's like, well, you just So I finished this one. It was pretty good. I'd like to play another one and see what's going on. I guess we'll have to wait. You know what I mean? Well, it was good. You know, well, I did like fucking Man of Medan. Then it ends with a trailer for the next game in the series, which actually looks like it would be something much more up my alley, something I would be interested in. This one looks like it's based on, you know, it's about like the Salem witch trials or something like that. And in and as you're playing Man of Medan 2, one of the characters in this game, who's actually the guy who played the protagonist in Quantum Break, to bring it back around to shitty games. You know, he's wearing like a Boston T-shirt the entire time, which is probably like, you know, supposed to be like an Easter egg to this next game that's coming out that takes place around Boston in Massachusetts. So yeah, I mean, I watched the trailer that they showed after the credits or whatever, and fucking, I was thinking like, oh cool, you know, that's gonna be perfect. Wow, this will be great. Was it gonna come out like next month or whatever? It's gonna be great for fucking, like, that'll be an awesome Halloween game. Probably comes out in about a month or whatever. Good timing. But then after the trailer, they show the fucking release date for the next one, and it says, coming 2020. You know, it's like, dude, what the fuck, dude? Why? Oh, why, like, I don't understand. Like, why wouldn't they just fucking work on and release the witch game first around now? Like, at least it's kind of like, again, Halloweenish adjacent time. Put that one out now, or fucking, or at the very least, like, have this game here, have Man of Medan, like, have that released again, like, around October. If it's kind of just like, oh, it's still a horror game, whatever, it's still like a fucking supernatural fucking shit, dude, it's horror, you know what I mean? Fucking have that release fucking around October. I don't know, it just seems fucking weird. it's just a weird fucking release date to have it fucking release in fucking August or whatever. You don't want them to go full Telltale and burn out, and, you know, if this first game is any indication, there's a hell of a lot more work, you know, fucking hard work and fucking polish went into fucking these games than fucking the Telltale fucking episodic game factory they had going there. They're just cranking them out, like, one by one, all these different fucking properties and series and shit. And, like, this actually feels like a proper finished game that was decently, you know, high budget. You know, the facial animations, like, the graphics are fucking really good and all that shit. What you would expect from fucking whatever, the Until Dawn shit. One thing you could say is fucking, the game looked good and it looked fucking, you know, decent for computer generated graphics or whatever. But still, it just fucking, like, kind of just sucks. Like, oh cool, this anthology thing, and then it's fucking just play this game and fucking, oh, the next one's not going to be out for, like, whatever, at least like 5 or 6 months or something like that. It's a long time to fucking wait, you know. But oh well, I mean, there are plenty of other spooky games to play in the meantime. Like Cold Fear, which is the best Resident Evil game since Resident Evil 4. yeah, if you're not familiar with Cold Fear, you know, it's a original Xbox game. You know, it was just a one-off, just no sequels. Just, you know, received fairly decently when it came out. I mean, I remember people liking it. Like, yeah, it's a pretty decent fucking game, decent fucking horror game. Again, just fucking, oh, if you like Resident Evil, check this out. And it's fucking, it's pretty good. But, you know, it never got any sequels for some reason. You play as a Coast Guard sailor. I don't know. Again, sailor or soldier. I don't know what you call members of the Coast Guard, but whatever. So you work for the least prestigious branch of the military, which is soon to be replaced by Space Force. So yeah, there's a sequel idea right there. You could call it Really Cold Fear. You know, you'd be a Space Force agent or whatever, or maybe, you know, maybe fucking Dead Space is kind of the unofficial sequel to Dead Cold Fear. Who knows? But so, yeah, so you board a ship again in this game. You're boarding a fucking ship in the ocean. And, yeah, not unlike the game we just talked about, there's some experimental, chemically shit going down on that ship. The sailors on it are all turning into zombies, and the ones that aren't will still attack you on sight. So, yeah, it's a third person over the soldier, that'd be appropriate too, but over the shoulder game. Like, it switches to that view if you aim down the sights. It just kind of zooms in, so you have like a, you know, laser pointer, you know, laser sight or whatever, you can fucking see, and you can still see the rest of the guy in the corner of the screen. But otherwise, if you don't do that, if you don't fucking aim down the sights, it's just kind of a traditional fixed camera survival horror perspective. And yeah, like I said, you know, just the game plays a lot like Resident Evil 4. Just, I would say more shootery than that. I mean, it's more horror shooter than survival horror shooter, you know? It does a couple things that, like, shake up the formula that I think are improvements from the standards that they're used to in these games. Yeah, I mean, there's no save rooms in there. There's no inventory management. It auto saves at certain points, so it breaks it up into almost like linear chapters. So there's no real need for like backtracking or any of that. The way you normally would in these games. Yeah, some passages and fucking, like, you know, hallways and shit might get blocked off, and then others will open up. You know, as you get, you know, key cards and that sort of shit you're collecting to unlock other parts of the ship. So, you're not really, like, consulting a map the entire time like you would in like, Resident Evil or something like that. You'd be like, oh, okay, well, how do I get to this room? It's just, you're just kind of going where you can go and just, like, keep, you know, playing pretty much. You're not fucking just going back and forth and, oh, cool, I got a fucking, whatever, Lucky Clover key. I can open all the Lucky Clover doors. It's just like, now you just go where you where the game kind of lets you go. And so, yeah, there's no map. You do, as a matter of fact, there's no map at all in the game. Just instead, they decided to just keep the sections kind of small enough. You know, the every area that you're exploring is like small enough that you can get your bearings. You don't really need a map for it. It's like fucking, like, oh, it's a ship. It's like a confined space. It's not really that crazy of going back and forth. So, I mean, you can still get lost and end up walking around in circles for probably like way too long that you feel like a fucking idiot for doing that. But there's only so many ways you can go on a ship. And later, I mean, the second half of the game, you're on an oil platform. But it's the same type of deal where it's just fucking, it's only so big, you know, there's only so many fucking hallways you can walk down. So you'll stumble across, you know, where you need to go, like, well before you, like, get frustrated and fucking, like, ah, I'm just lost. Like, it's like, no, I'll just, if I just keep walking and, you know, you find out where you want to go. Another cool or cold touch is, yeah, since you're on a Russian ship, all like the signage is in the Russian language, which, you know, it makes it a little bit more confusing, you know, a little more confusing than if it was just fucking, you know, green and red arrows pointing, you know, like, where it was like, oh, up these stairs is whatever the captain's quarters, and this way is the fucking galley or whatever. So there, everything's in Russian. But you can still, if you can point your gun at any sign, you know, any fucking words in Russian, and they'll give you like English subtitles. Like, it's fucking like, oh, this guy reads, you know, like the guy you're playing, I guess, is can read Russian, but not that well. So you have to kind of like concentrate on it, I guess, would be the conceit of that. Like, you know, the fucking justification for that. It's fucking like, well, you just fucking point your gun and wait a couple seconds and the subtitles will pop up telling you what the sign says. So, just a little unique detail that's kind of, interesting. So because of the virus that's on the ship, the zombie, not zombie, make, you know, that virus, You can only kill the infected enemies with headshots, and those are pretty fucking satisfying to pull off. They have a nice like pop to them when you fucking shoot somebody in the head and their fucking brains explode. Real gory. Sounds good again. Fucking nice brain chunks that come out of that. The shooting feels really tight. You have much more control over it than in Control, the game Control. It feels a lot better to shoot shit. It's one of those deals where ammo isn't necessarily scarce, but you can't really stick to one or two weapons either because, yeah, you'll run out of ammo if you're just like, I'm just gonna use the pistol the whole time. It's like, well, you're just gonna run out of ammo for that. You gotta fucking like switch it up to what you need. You need the right tools for the right job. You know, use the fucking shotgun up close and AK for anything at a distance. And yeah, the pistol is good because it has a flashlight attached to it, which comes in handy. Obviously, there's a lot of fucking dark rooms and shit where, you know, you need a flashlight as you switch to your pistol. So, there will be like these blobs stuck on walls that can only be killed with fire. So it's like, oh, those you need, you know, you got to break out the flamethrower. So it just feels pretty damn good to play still. It's fucking just, you know, just the, in general, the movement and the fucking aiming and shooting and all, it's just fucking, it's like, yeah, this game's still pretty fun. It's like, just the act of doing that is pretty good. Good graphics and shit. Good shooting, good graphics. Cold Fear. I played the FK. I didn't like beat it. I played it for like a few hours or whatever, and you know, made it a decent way in, but just fucking got distracted with other shit. But might go back to it at some point. And also, speaking of obscure horror games that only I seem to like or remember, really. I never thought I would be saying these words on here, but a sequel to wait for it. Deadly Premonition is in the works. So, holy fucking shit. I mean, Deadly Premonition, the first game, I'll be the first to admit, it's not great. It didn't really age very well. I mean, it's kind of like fucking when it came out. When it came out, it seemed like a fucking old-ass game when it came out. I played it again, like, what, a couple of years ago or something like that? I replayed it, and it's fucking like, it's like, it hasn't aged as well as you would think. And also, yes, it is a Nintendo Switch exclusive, but, yeah, I mean, I just have such a soft spot for that game in my heart, for Deadly Premonition, and Swery in general. You know, Swery's kind of like the working man's Hideo Kojima, only he has talent is the big difference. Deadly Premonition, A Blessing in Disguise is the name of it. And hopefully that title isn't too ironic when it comes out, which is slated for 2020 at some point. And there's a trailer for it and everything. I'm not just fucking pulling this out of my ass. It's a real thing that's happening. So, the information so far, I guess the gameplay is split between a new female detective who's investigating a serial killer in what I'm assuming is just fucking modern times, modern day, present day. And then you also get to play as Agent Francis York Morgan in the 80s and like flashbacks or whatever, like parallel storytelling type shit. So other than that information, though, that I read, I'd really like to go into Deadly Premonition 2. I kind of want to go into it blind, like not knowing anything about it. I don't want to fucking read all these previews and watch these early fucking YouTube videos of people with early access and all that shit. It's like, all right. So I'm happy enough. Just the game is coming out in general. I don't want to fucking spoil every little fucking thing. that's all I need. I mean, you had me at fucking Deadly Premonition 2. Yeah, I mean, Swery's proved himself that, you know, just the first game there wasn't like a fluke. It wasn't just fucking just like some random asshole just happened to make like this game that was kind of, it became like a cult classic type of thing. Yeah, I think Swery's, even like, you know, that D4 game for Kinect or whatever, like, you know, the pretty early Xbox One game, that had the same, like, whatever the fuck it is, like, whatever fucking his games are that make them bad but good, like, fucking, like, he pulled the same shit off with, like, D4, and also the, that 2D one there where you played the fucking tranny who kept like killing herself or whatever. And he's the real deal. Again, it's not fucking some half-assed thing. It's just his personalities, whatever the fuck you want to call it, his writing, the way he fucking works. Like, there's something there that I just fucking really like. As long as he finishes it, I have very little doubt that it's going to be, you know, anything other than exactly what I think it is, which is like a weird, entertaining, borderline bad game that is somehow still good and like brilliant, and like it'll have like a bunch of fucking twists, dark like twists and turns that you do. It's like, what the fuck? Like, why is this in this game? Like, this is something like fucking like real fucked up. That's like, oh, that makes no sense. The original Deadly Premonition, I guess, is out now on, there's a port for Switch. Which, I, you know, again, I replayed it, whatever, 6 months ago or something like that. But it's like, yeah, well, I played the PC version, which is kind of shitty. But, yeah, it was a fucking disaster trying to get that thing to run, period, and do all this shit to it to make it not crash or whatever. But if the Switch port is, like, solid and fucking, you know what I mean, solid, and hopefully it's the 360 one and not whatever the fuck that the PS4 and PC one, like the director's cut, or for some reason the colors are all fucked up and this is some other garbage that's not as good as the original release was on 360. But, you know, if the Switch port's decent, like, maybe I'll fucking buy it for a fucking Switch and play it, like, who knows, replay it. So, it's also, like, yeah, it's just fucking, like, something about, you know, I'm just, like, thinking about fucking, how is that, I wonder if they're going to censor anything or change shit, just because, again, for the most part, like, Deadly Premonition is, like, goofy, it's a pretty goofy game, but then it gets into some dark territory with, yeah, like, once again, like transvestite fucking killers, and I think, like, a tree grows out of some bitch's fucking pussy at some point. It's a pretty fucked up shit in there, which I don't know if it would fucking like fly today, but who knows if they're gonna fucking like censor some shit, or if they're just gonna let it go and hopefully not do too much to it other than make it better than the shitty PC port. Gears 5 came out. That was a disaster as well. Not really anything to do with Gears of War 5 or Gears 5 as it's really called. Not that, like, the game itself, I'm not even, like, shitting on at this point, but what I've played of it so far, it says, I've been like, yeah, it's pretty good, decent, not bad. You know, graphically, the game is fucking gorgeous. It's not really the most photorealistic game out there, but it is a fucking looker. It's a good fucking looking game, and it runs incredibly well. When you can play it anyway, that was the issue, is not being able to fucking play the game when I wanted. And yeah, I shelled out $80 for the Ultimate Asshole Edition, which comes with fucking like weapon skins and Terminator skins, and I don't even exactly know what the fuck, like exactly what was in the Ultimate Edition. But you did get early access to it. You could play it 5 days earlier, whatever it is. Supposedly, that was the selling point for me anyway. It's like, well, I'm just at this, you know, I'm at a juncture right now where I'm not really sure what I want to play. And, I can spend $80 and fucking play Gears of War 5 fucking right now. And, all right, dude, maybe. So I did. And, yeah, so I played through the first act of the campaign on Thursday night. I used to be such a big Gears of War fan that it would be tradition to blow through the single player stuff. Like, I'd go through the fucking campaign completely, and on the first night it released, like, one of those, I'll stay up late, I'll fucking like call up for work or whatever, and just fucking play through Gears, the new Gears game. But so anyway, so I get to the end of Act 1 in Gears 5, and the game starts like freezing up a little bit and like stuttering. I'm like fucking like, ah, oh, well, maybe this, whatever, dude. Maybe, yeah, it was running so well before. I noticed like, oh, well, it's starting to stutter in a little bit and fucking, you know, having like whatever, dude, like freezing up for a couple seconds. Then like it would stop playing. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Maybe it's just like the certain spot was, you know, spots I was in was just too much fucking shit that like, you know, I'm running it on like fucking like ultra settings and all that. I'm like, oh, maybe it's just too much to handle for this one little section. It'll get better. But, no, eventually just crashed. The game like crashed completely. I was thinking like, what is this? Is it going to be one of these deals where the game is a fucking like memory leak or some shit they have to patch out, or you can only run it for so long before it fucking crashes or whatever. Which was the or was the fucking perpetual problem that Xbox Live seems to have syncing with my profile on PC, where I always get those messages where it's Xbox Live is taking too long to fucking retrieve your fucking profile, try again, and fucking all that shit that happens every time I try playing a fucking game on PC from Microsoft. And that was actually my main complaint I had from playing the fucking beta too, was just probably like the Xbox Live shit was being gay, but whatever. So I'm like, oh, well, the game crashed, but I'll try again tomorrow, I guess. I says to myself, well, then tomorrow comes and it's Friday. I'm out of work for the weekend. I ain't got shit to do. Try playing Gears 5 and I can't even get past the title screen, because I can't sign into my Xbox Live profile, period. Like, just anywhere, like, from fucking open a window, go to Xbox.com, I can't fucking sign in there. I can't sign into fucking, like, Mixer, just fucking my Xbox Live profiles is not working anywhere. Never mind that I just want to play the single-player campaign of this fucking game. I don't even care if I'm like, dude, well, put me offline now. Let me not be signed into a profile. Just fucking save it locally or whatever the fuck, so I can just, like, play the game offline. Like, who gives a fuck? But nope, you know, you can't do that. And just, if you can't sign into your fucking profile, it's just stuck in the menu screen. It's fucking just kept like reloading, like going to like the troubleshooting shit. And so, I mean, this is like the one Xbox exclusive game I've tried playing since, I don't know, like Forza Horizon 4, probably. It's fucking like, oh, finally looking at like a Microsoft game I want to play. And I can't, I just can't fucking play it. You know, their servers are all fucked up, and it's not just me. It's not just fucking, again, I was just thinking like, oh, my Xbox Live profile always takes so long to fucking load, but it's not, this time it wasn't just fucking my problem. I guess it was out forever. Like, everyone was having the same shit. Like, just Live was just down for like almost a complete day across all games, apparently. So I don't know, dude, fucking Microsoft, buddy, you know, this is like, you know, this was like your one big moment to like shine, like pretty much this year. Like, this should have been like the fucking Microsoft Xbox brand highlight, like their core fucking franchise or whatever. Just fucking at least be functional for the people who spent more money than they needed to play your fucking flagship game. It's just like, dude, what the fuck happened here? Like, how does this happen? How do they let this happen? Here's the release of this fucking ultimate edition of this fucking biggest game of the year for us, and oh, Xbox Live's down, you can't fucking play it. Like, that's so fucking garbage. And yeah, Xbox Live was actually down for most of the day and most of the night too. So I don't know, I played fucking Gremlins 2 the new batch on NES instead. And so yeah, get your fucking shit together. I also put up some arcade, I call them my arcade lights, but I put up some mini LED lights across the fucking perimeter of my room just to give it a little atmosphere, as they say. So yeah, that's what I did. That's what I did instead of playing fucking Gears 5, because I could not. But I will have more on Gears and Gremlins next week. I actually, why this show's a little bit late, I had to go to a fucking funeral in the morning, and I was fucking doing family shit all day, so I had a funeral to crash. But so yeah, I mean, TV is working great, stream set up, Also, speaking of Microsoft, Mixer got a little bit gayer. They had you watch some like anti-hate speech video, and so I can't stream on Mixer for 24 hours either, apparently, because again, Microsoft fucking stupid bullshit. I've been streaming there for like 3 fucking years, and like, oh dude, you have to watch this fucking sensitivity training video or some shit. It's like, dude, this is fucking gay as fuck. So yeah, anyway, talk more about that next week. I'll just keep leading you suckers along. Thanks for listening to the Grunt Free Press podcast. www.gruntfreepress.com is the website. We appreciate your patronage. podcast@gruntfreepress.com for any helpful creative feedback. Remember, no hate speech. We have a zero tolerance policy for faggots.
What's more, no one ever disappears. You never hear the standard issue kicking in your door. You can relax on both sides of the tracks, and maniacs don't blow holes in bands. Enhancement by remote control, and everyone has recourse to the law. And no one kills the children anymore. No one kills the children anymore. Just write off his final scene.